Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I
Flight Hour.
Well, welcome to Apostle Marcus Dupree, and we thank God for each and everyone tonight. And we get ready to take flight tonight. Amen. We're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord as He allows us to come in. And we thank God for each and everyone to sit back and, you know, just observe and just listen to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say tonight. It's going to be have a great show. And, of course, I'm not by myself tonight. I thank God for our very own Prophet Gabrielle Bonner. She's with us tonight. Was a spiritual daughter. And she is She's truly in Elisha. You understand a little more what I'm talking about in Elisha to me and in the gospel. And I thank God for what He's doing in her life. And as we walk this thing together, amen, we thank God for what He's doing. So as we begin to pray, let's pray. Let's get prepared. Let's pray. Father, we thank You right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give You praise, give You all honor and glory, and we thank You for this opportunity that we have to be in Your presence, Lord God, and we thank You for Your precious blood that You shed at Calvary's cross, and You allowed us, Lord God, to have a new opportunity, a life that we've never had before. Thank You for life and that life more abundantly. I thank You, Lord Jesus, You touch us with Your presence tonight. Rest on us, oh God. Rest Your presence on us tonight as we come before Your awesome people of God. And we thank You right now, Lord God, for the people of the station. We thank God for each and every one, for each who made the sacrifice for us to even be here, and even for those who are still here standing with us, Lord, again, encouraging us and even standing with us, Lord, tonight in Your word. We count it a privilege to be here. We count it a robbery, Lord God, to be here tonight. But we thank You, Lord God, as You continue to build us up, strengthen us, Lord God. Let us be vessels prepared for the master's use tonight. As Your word flow, Lord God, we decrease as You increase now. Jesus, increase as we decrease now in Jesus' name. Jesus, increase that we decrease in the name of Jesus, oh God. Speak through us. Minister to us, oh God. Touch the hearts of men, that Your word shall be sensed and felt, oh God, and experienced like never before. In the name of Jesus, we give You all the praise, give You honor and the glory. For Your Son, Jesus' name, Lord God, have Thine way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, once again, we thank God for each and every one, and I thank Prophet for being with me tonight. When it comes down to the fivefold ministry, if we want to go to scriptures right away as we kind of set this call up. Amen. Let's go to let's go first to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 reads, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. So and we call the verse 11 the five ascension gifts, fivefold ministry, and we have the first in rank is apostles, then the second rank is the prophets, amen. And myself, before embracing and merging the office of the apostleship, I myself am a nobby prophet myself, and I know that, you know, definitely when you talk about the mantle of a prophet is it's very important. It's very important because it's a lot goes into the process of becoming a prophet. It's a lot that goes on, a lot happens. A lot of times, a lot of stuff that we don't quite understand sometimes while we're going through, unless we have someone who we can turn to, who can give us clarity and give us help and give us understanding. If anyone desires to call in tonight and who have questions or prayer requests, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get into the answer box, amen, the question box, question box, and we can take your call. Amen. So, once again, we're looking at that second place there called second office prophets. And, you know, in verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints. We need the prophets to to be here to perfect, to lead, to help perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, to help keep the work of ministry going forward, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith. We have so many different levels of faith operating in different people and different, you know, with different kinds of faith, bringing everything together on one accord. And it says, of the knowledge of the Son of God. There's more, so much more we cannot exhaust knowing Jesus, knowing about Jesus, exploring Jesus, walking out Jesus, showing Jesus in the earth realm. So there's so much responsibility in doing that, and so many different ways that people need to see and experience Jesus, and this is the reason why we're here. And then it goes into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's so much more in Christ that needs to be done, and it's going to happen to the day that he comes back for us. So we're going to always need prophets here in the earth, and we, and those who are of a prophetic nature, and those who are prophetic, and those who are to call to the office of a prophet, you know, there's always going to be a need for you being who you are. And I must say this, that it's very important if you know that you have that call, you know, you've can had confirmation about the call, you have questions, dreams. That's why it's always good to connect. If you don't, your leader doesn't know, it's always good to find an apostle who may could give you clarity, and or another prophet who can give you clarity about who you are. And but also go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God first, I say. Go to the Word of God first and find yourself in that place, you know, and from that point, do some study and research. Find out what a prophet is and understand, you know, it's a lot more to it than just prophesying. You got to find out, and not only find that out, but then to make a good connection, you know, as far as who's someone who can train you in that office and really develop you and cultivate the gift inside. So just want to get that insight there as we get ready to get into this call. But we're not gonna really go in depth into the office of a prophet tonight, but we want to touch on a different type of subject. We want to talk on the Elijah-Elisha connection. We want to ask you to turn with us at this time to was it 1 Kings chapter 19? 1 Kings chapter 19. And once again, we have, so while we're going there, we want to ask Prophet, do you have anything you'd like to say on the, to kind of open this up, go into anything?
No, not yet. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
It's along with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. We appreciate that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, well, okay. Now, First Kings chapter 19, it takes place after Elijah has to stand on the mount, you know, Mount Sinai, Mount Carmel, stand against the 450 prophets of Baal and the other prophets too as well. And we see here where, and of course in that chapter is where he had to make a stand. And Elijah challenged the people of Israel because they were, you know, going back and forth between gods, and they were falling into Baal and, you know, found their prophets, forged, and here it is, says that they were. So Elijah proposed a challenge. He said, "Let's call the people of Israel, and let's let them see whose God answers by fire." And of course, he had the 450 prophets of Baal, and the other 400 prophets of groves, their prophets. So Elijah challenged them. In the midst of the challenge, God moves up, and moves in mighty ways, shows up. Their God didn't answer, but then our God answered by fire, showed up, turned it off, you know, turned everything out. So after that happened, then it was time for execution. You know, so after God showed out, then it was time for Elijah to get rid of, you know, as far as them, to get rid of those, the other prophets, and, you know, just execute judgment. So that's what they did. And so then he told Ahab, the king, to prepare yourself. You know, there's a cloud of rain supposed to be coming. And the rain, because during that time, before that time, it was a period for 3.5 years that Elijah commanded, spoke to the elements and spoke, you know, commanded rain to stop, to cease. For 3.5 years, the rain didn't come. So here it is. So in, well, during this time here, now we see as he coming in chapter 19, he told, just before he did that, he told yeah, prepare yourself, the rain is coming. That's when all of a sudden the rain came. He outrun the chariot, and here we go. And so what happened here is chapter 19 is we're about to see some things take place. So verse 1 says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So once again, judgment was released, and he slain the prophets. Then Jezebel said sent a message to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Talking about the prophets was executed and everything. And he said, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. So Elijah broke out and just left, you know, after the threat came from Bathsheba. You know, and then, too, you know, Elijah just came with that fierce battle to where, you know, he had to make the stand and, you know, challenge, stand. God showed out, then execution. A lot of things was done. He exerted a lot, you know, and everything. And sometimes, in this, as prophets, we have to be careful because we can get caught up in doing so much that we spin ourselves out, and now we find ourselves running on empty trying to perform, and that's a dangerous place. We got to remember we need to be replenished, and we need to take some time to allow the Lord really replenish us and spend good time. That's why Jesus sometimes would go off and spend some time in the mountain and wherever, just have time of separation so the Father could minister to him, build him back up, you know, so after he's put out. So he goes on, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Now Elijah started to go through his moment. You know, he's had a little pity party here. You know, he's having a time here, kind of dealing with, thinking about himself and just different things, and at the same time too, looking at the fact that Jezebel just sent that request for his life, and here it is. You know, he's kind of having a moment within himself, you know, just having a little pity party. And sometimes as prophets, we can get caught up in either running when things get tough or just fall out when we're being challenged. Sometimes more than we realize we're being challenged or certain things come about, you know. But the thing is, we have to remember, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We have been made for this. We've been groomed for this. This is what we're, you know, called to do, make a stand. And while having a moment, I just want to invite anyone, if anyone have who desire to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Now, Prophet, I got a quick question to ask you real quick before we get into the Elijah and Elisha connection here. Even with you have experience in the prophetic, you know, in the years that you've experienced, and you've had your budding years, and now you're coming into more years of maturity. Have you had some of those moments to where you find yourself running on empty?
Because as you're learning, you know, you have that zeal, and you're getting more knowledge so that I won't be spiritually naive, you know, or ignorant anymore in certain areas as I'm growing. And a lot of times when people see that on you or about you, even if you don't know it, they tend to become parasites and leeches. And so what I've had to do was ask God to help me with proper time management and know when to say enough is enough, enough blood sucking, so to say, spiritually, and mm-hmm. just let people get offended, let them get upset or whatever, because a lot of times, too, a lot of them people that want to drain you, they're easily quick to go to false leaders. And, you know, mm-hmm. they'll let them go ahead and use them for whatever reasons, and then they'll come to the one that they should have been came to or need to be with for a season, and they'll come to you and just dump everything on you. You know, when you have a heart for people, you have to watch yourself and be careful, because they'll leave you there, blood and all, and walk over you and just keep on going. you know, and keep doing that to other people who will let them do it. So I've learned now that you can't let people's emotions or feelings or let them manipulate you. Draw the line, have boundaries with respect and a humble heart, and let the Lord lead you. Amen.
Amen. Very true. I've fronted years, early years in ministry about that. I've been saved at least 20 years, and I've been preaching for 16, almost 17 years. And I tell you one thing, and when you start coming to that place of the prophetic, and people see that, oh boy, it's attractive, very attractive to people. They want to pull on you quick. I've had people who try to manipulate and pull. I've had some that have manipulated to where, you know, they kind of pull a word out you, try to play on your naiveness of the office and not realizing, you know, how witchcraft comes in different ways. Sometimes people bring, you know, operating witchcraft by, you know, praying, you know, out of the will of God and trying to, you know, cause, conjure up stuff and different things like that. But then you have some people try to force your hand in some different ways. And that's another form of witchcraft. But people try to put unnecessary or illegal pressure on you to try and get you off track or pull you to manipulate a word out of you. And sometimes people would do that to push you beyond where you should be going. Sometimes people try to push pressure on you, say they want a word, and that's why you have to know as a prophet, knowing when to say, no, I don't. If I, you know, if you do, and the Lord didn't release you to release it, no, I can't. You know, you cannot be afraid, because when it comes down to it, after they get their little word and run off, well, guess who God will come foot the bill? He's going to come to you, you know, us. He's going to come deal with us about that. And that's why we have to be careful not to be moved by the people, not allow the people to manipulate or illegally pull on us to where we can't or don't want to say no. You know, you don't have to keep doing everything people ask you to do. No, you have to know when to say when. And sometimes God may just tell you no just because. Because sometimes people can use you as a spiritual crutch instead of getting a relationship with God. And that's why some people, like you're saying, about knowing when to shut something down and tell people no, it is necessary, because some people will keep them pulling on you. As long as you say yeah, as long as you keep on, they will pull on you or pull you, suck you dry. Next thing you know, you're about running yourself crazy because you're trying to save the world. You're trying to be the Holy Ghost. You know, so that's why it's very important to discipline yourself and know when to say when. I spent a lot of early years doing that. I mean, it's, and the thing is, you could put countless hours into people. I've seen it done. I've felt it. I mean, oh, God, you put hours in talking to people. And after they leave you, they go do the same exact thing that you try to prevent from happening. I mean, what in the world was all that time for? So you have to learn how to go follow the Holy Spirit when he says speak and when he says that's enough. Because he knows the heart of men. He knows what they're taking in. He knows their thought as you're speaking. It could be, that could look like they're hearing. Their mind says, no, they ain't trying to receive. They already have in their mind, they're going to go do what they want to do. So
amen.
You got to know when to say when is when. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yes, it is real. Do you have anything else you want to add to that, or you good?
I'm good, Apostle. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're moving on. I'm going to move on to a little bit. We're going to, you know, pass on the part where, you know, he was under the tree, slept. Okay, well, verse 5 is he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, the angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So you could tell that he was spent. He was, not replenished, but he was spent, you know, as far as physically, tired, hungry, thirsty. You know, the journey was rough. You know, he had to make the stand, and he had to still survive and be kind of going. So now he's getting some rest and he's getting recouped. And the Lord, you know, because sometimes, you know, and you realize that, think about it too, there's different times in our life that we may not get a whole bunch of sleep. We might be a little bit grouchy. or be grouchy or not feel too well. Well, he's been going through some stuff right here. So here you can tell that in his body that he was, you know, having some challenges or whatever. He was thirsty, hungry, and just needed some rest. Sometimes we could get so caught up in life that we sleep, but we don't really rest. And that's very something that you don't have to be in ministry, but that's just anybody. We can go through some changes there. But here's moving on down. Amen. He rose and eat and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mountain of God. So, amen. So he's going on. He came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, What dost thou do here, Elijah? And, well, other words, in NLT says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I am very zealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down their altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life and to take it away. Sometimes in this journey, you can feel like you're on your own. You're carrying the weight by yourself of being who you are. But guess what? You're not. God will hear saying, showing the right and plain and simple. We're not. A lot of times we're not. It may feel like it, but we're not. Okay, verse 11 says, and he go forth. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces in the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle, you keep your eyes on that word mantle, and went out and stood in the entering of into the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down their altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only, am left, is that it is seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, Go, return of thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be the king of Syria. Jehu, son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Bela-Mil, shall thou anoint to be prophet. Good night, man. In thy room. So here it is. He says, the Lord is telling him to give him an assignment. Go forth and anoint the next king. And he said, go forth, anoint the next king. And then he said, anoint Jehu to be son, the anointed next king of Israel. Then of course he went down to Elisha. He said to anoint him to be in thy room, to thy stand. In other words, to be your successor. Now we see here, there's a reason why God wants us to have that Elijah, Elisha. There's a purpose for that connection. The purpose, one of the main purpose is the purpose for the connection here. As we get into it, I'm going to say four words when it comes to my mind, is relationship, connection, succession equals legacy. There's a legacy that needs to go on from one prophet to another. That's why it's not good for a prophet just to feel he's just by himself, because all that he's again in the carpet, especially if he's in the will of God, it goes to the grave. I mean, if you don't pass it on to anyone else, all that you've accomplished, all that you've done, and you've not passed it on to anyone else, you kept it all to yourself, and so all that you've gained will end with you. And each mantle And the word mantle, we're going to look the word. That word mantle means a loose piece of clothing, without sleeves, that was worn over the clothes, especially in the past, something that covers or surrounds something else, the position of someone who has responsibility or authority. So the mantle of a prophet meant a lot to that prophet who wore and obtained that mantle. It was a spiritual connotation as well as a natural meaning for it, and it held it's like a cloak, a loose sleeveless garment worn over the clothes like a cloak, a figuratively cloak symbolizing preeminence of authority, and so we see authority comes in, you know, it has to do with that as well, something that covers, enfolds, envelops. It's also symbolic for, I guess you could say, in the sense of legacy, in the sense of what you've gained through your walk, your spiritual connection, your years, your mantle. A lot of that can be stored up or resident on that piece of garment. That when it's passed on, it's symbolic for the authority, the power, even the wisdom, a lot of things that it can represent that's being passed on when it's properly successed on from one person to the other. So if anyone desires to call and have any questions or comments or prayer requests, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Now, here we go, Prophet. Now, to you, what has got your attention about the Elijah Elisha connection through the years so far? Have you seen, connection and hereafter the connection? How has it been for you? What? Give me a description of the difference that has made your life as far as having that connection.
Yes, one thing I've learned is when I first even came to this ministry, you know, of course you'd be a little nervous, you know, you'd be like a little kid around new people and stuff like that. And so I've always loved this ministry and always will. And so I noticed that once I tapped into it, when I heard the voice of the Lord saying that's the kind of connection that I have with Apostle Marcus Dupree, a lot of things shifted. It was like literally once I got it, because pretty much just like we saw in the story, Elijah already knew. So it was up to Elisha then for him to be the one to catch it, you know, but God had already informed his prophet as well, Elijah, in advance. So he knew what to go do. He knew who it was going to be. And so once Elisha tapped into it, literally my life became like that too, where I began to spend even more time with you as my leader, you know, and my life, I began to even operate like you, flow like you. Things just changed and everything just came into alignment, even the same warfare, the same attacks, you name it, to the point where even people could hear you through me, could hear the same thing, see the same thing in us. And so it was just so funny because you never know what people see and when they notice it as well. And so that's what I've noticed too, that even with me, how I flow as God's prophet, a lot of it has came from you. You know, I can see the spiritual transferring and the attachment that we flow together and the tag teaming, also the personalities in the spirit and the characteristics, you know. And so I thank God for that. It's been an awesome journey. Amen.
Amen. Now, could you tell, so how was it before the connection came here to where, was it when you didn't have that connection as you were coming up, how was life in ministry without that connection before it came along?
Yes, without that connection, life was interesting. It was like being like a pinball. You know, getting hit from this leader, then you jump shoot over to this leader, you know, going from different ministries because they were not Elijah's. And also they did not know how to carry who I was spiritually concerning, you know, Elisha. And so some of them couldn't even see that in the spirit. And so it ended up being where I ended up getting spiritually, as they say, prostituted for my gifts and anointing, just spiritually used and abused to the point where I wasn't able to tap into that I was an Elisha, you know, because these people did not even know and couldn't see that, or they were too busy looking at other things and what they can get out of it. So it caused me not to be able to bond with them spiritually like that, to where I was just being tossed around, so to say. I was in spiritual foster care, you know, with spiritual parents, so to say, who wanted to adopt me, but they were not good spiritual parents for me. So God knew He had a set timing on purpose where I would be laboring in another ministry, and God will say to you, go lay it up on her, you know. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, and the thing is about it is the uniqueness of this connection has been, is usually happens with usually for me, if I've seen it, well, you know, spiritual father and a spiritual son, but never have been necessarily seen it in for me, spiritual father, spiritual daughter. But I do recognize that that connection is real, and it is what it is. And it's been never no funny business, nothing, but it's always been respectful, and that's how God designed it to be. You know, it could be male or female, but at the same time, it had the level of respect for one another to be who God's called to be.
Yeah.
And definitely so, and you can tell, it's pretty obvious. I mean, like I said, certain things will stick out, stand out to be so, and it's like, look, Stevie Wonder can tell you the connection is real. You know? Amen.
Amen.
So we thank God for how He's been doing it, and even as He continuing doing it, as we're seeing greater and greater levels of this connection. Let's go back to Scripture. Amen. And it really makes you grateful. Okay, and in verse 17, he says, and it should have come to pass that he escaped the sword of his own. I'm sorry, verse 18. Yet I am left alone. Lift me 7,000 Israel, and all the knees have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth of the have not kissed him. So he departed and found Elisha the Shaphat, son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. So he just, so Elijah found Elisha working. Amen. So that's a very key thing too. You know, you cannot be lazy or just passive in the spirit and really obtain this place or mantle. You know, you have to be one who's willing to work. And that's one thing the Lord has definitely proven. You know, Providence has been very diligent. You know, in ministry, even with limited knowledge at certain points, before she come up, you know, limited, but yet found faithful working, being busy with Father's business. So as she gained more, learned more, whatever we asked to do, there have been times I've called her like almost like within an hour of service and said, look, I won't be able to the preach. Somehow something worked out to where, you know, I wasn't able to get on the line of preaching, and I had to kind of deal with the thing right then and there. And she's been faithful to go forth and do. And that's how I am. Yes. I mean, as far as just God will give you stuff like, you know, just like go forth and do. And with limited amount of time, He's proven it more and more, and even closer to where, even down to almost minutes. So, you know, that's what you're saying. You've seen those characteristics from the leader inside the successor, the student. And so I'm grateful for, as I'm seeing it develop, even as me being a leader myself, you know, I saw it coming up in my form leader years ago. And sometimes I even hear within myself him, you know. So it's funny. She said she hear me, you know, her, and see certain things. And that's one thing to let you know. That anointing is truly flowing down. She's receiving, and I'm pouring. See, and that's the thing about it. If you know, you just because you as you when you come to that understanding of knowing who is the successor, who is the Elijah, then the Elijah has a responsibility to begin to pour. And as he begin to pour, you will begin to tell the difference in a lot of things. Now I mentioned these three things or four things. And the mantle, of course, we talk about the mantle. And that mantle, of course, it can be, this is also a physical as well as a spiritual connotation to this thing as well. Because it could be something that I wear that could be passed on. But then it's also, well, mostly it's a spiritual connection to where that's, you know, as far as investing. There's times that she would get lessons about the walk, the prophetic walk, or about ministry that other ones may not get during that time. And these and those are the golden nuggets of the connection. The lessons you learn from your Elijah when everyone else is not around. The lessons you learn when you may make your mistakes and they take time out to give you correction. And, but then the wisdom that you get poured into you, even in those times when, you know, everyone else may not be available, or you those certain one-on-one lessons about ministry, about the call, about just being who you are. And then, two, the corrections, but also the impartations as well. But that's the positive thing about it. When you have that connection, even in correction, there's building, there's impartation, there's releasing going on. And that's why that Elisha has to know that this is the Elijah, because you will receive it in that way. You will not take it as, you know, getting beat down, thrown in the ground, and just walked over. No, you won't take it like that. You won't see it like that. And then, too, like she said, too, the Elijah will know how to handle Elisha properly, to where they'll feel safe, and they will know that they're being ministered to, built up, even prepared for tomorrow. So you have anything you would like to say on that, Prophet?
Amen. Yeah, it's very powerful what you said, Apostle, you know, with Elijah and Elisha, because apparently God knows who is qualified. It just shows you, because he could have chose any other person to anoint, but he specifically chose Elisha. So that means there's something that God created within Elisha that he knows that Elisha will be more than obedient to let go of what he was doing, and put aside his own personal life and follow, that he would follow him. He wouldn't run before Elijah and say, since you chose me, that means I know what to do, and get in front of the leader. And not so. Right. He humbled himself and followed him and was willing to even give up his life to follow this prophet as well, this man of God, Elijah. He was willing to do whatever was doing, need to be done. And he wasn't a lazy person. Like I said, when he found him, he was plowing. He was plowing. So that means he had in his heart to do what it took to get to where he had to go. First and following and submitting. Amen.
Amen. And not afraid to work. You see, because that's another thing, too, because sometimes you have some people in ministry who want everything handed to them. So you see here, this is why the price of the anointing costs, because here it is at a time to where some people would just think, well, when you got, they meet someone, I want that anointing. You want that anointing, but you haven't proven yourself yet. That's why leaders must be careful with just passing out titles and just giving out offices so fast, because it is a heavy responsibility. Because when you think about giving a child a gun and expect them to know what to do with it, that's dangerous.
Amen.
But yeah, so at the same time, too, when you know this person is your Elisha, to where they have been sent to you to pour into, then you don't mind. Then you really understand their purpose. They've been sent to you to retain what you pour into them. They've been sent to you to receive, to also demonstrate and do what has been poured into them. So it's so many facets of that relationship. And that was the second thing. The first thing was mantle. The second thing is we're talking about is relationship. That relationship is very important, because there's a relating that must happen. It's the way in which two or more people, groups, or countries talk to behave. In this case, two people talk to and behave and deal with each other. It's very important that we understand that as a relationship, there's a relating must go on, to where she talked to me, I talked to her. I talked to her, she talked to me. Even the way I handled, because understanding that she's here to be trained, taught, and then there's going to be mistakes happen. It's part of the training. You're going to make that mistake. Even as a leader, there may be some mistakes I make. As a leader, while I'm training and showing and teaching, and she has to understand too that I am also learning, and I'm going through learning, and it's always going to be my heart is always turned for the best interest, and so should hers always be. And that leader must understand that their heart is turned towards the best interest. So, in other words, I'm not walking around looking at her like, wondering, I wonder what she would do next. I wonder, oh, I wonder, that evil. You know, I'm not looking at her sideways. I'm not looking at her like a suspicious. No, but I know that when she that because she understands the, our connection, our relationship, she understands the importance of why the connection, how important the connection is. It's not taken lightly by either one of us because there's a legacy that's being released into her life that, that and that mantle must go on. And what she learns from here, receives from here, is going to take her seemingly further probably than which would I go. And but guess what? There's security. There's a peace with that. I'm not going to feel so insecure or thinking, oh, I'm going to show her everything. No, 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 no. And let me say this while I'm there. A spiritual parent, it's foolish for any spiritual parent to think or to want to be further than their spiritual children. That's downright selfish. Because if anything, I should have no problem with her going forth and going further in some areas, and maybe all areas or maybe some or whatever case may be. But she ought to increase because, as we're going to see, you know, Elisha did twice as much as miracles as Elijah did. And guess what? It never took away from who Elijah was. Elijah still was Elijah. He was Elisha's teacher. So you would expect that showed that not only did Elijah do well, but Elisha received well and executed, demonstrated, went forth and executed well. He went forth and did what he was taught. You saw some parts where he operated and did like Elijah. Then also you also see some things that he did differently than Elijah. That goes to show each person's personality. Even though I'm pouring to her, pouring the anointing is being poured into her, but even like God's word, the way it comes out is never going to be the same. Her personality, for who she is, that means she has the firepower to do it, but how it's released is going to be how God uses her. So even though there's a likeness, there's still an individual identity in the midst of Elijah and Elisha's connection. You know, so she understands, you know, there's going to be a lot of traits. I mean, it'll be a lot like me. But at the same time, it's still going to be her. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Amen.
Amen.
So that's very, you know, very important. The way of the relationship is also the way we deal with each other.
Amen.
The way in which two people or more are connected. So, like I said, there's times where she might text me during the day, Apostle, did you sleep much last night? And I said, no, you know, or whatever the case may be. She said, I know, because I felt the same thing, too. You know, I said, Apostle must be up. It's funny because I never thought that. You know, that's funny. You know, but see, the connection, and guess what? And the thing is, I've only seen her face-to-face once.
Amen.
See, it's not, that I go to show you, it's not a physical thing. I only saw her face-to-face one time, you know, at one occasion, you know, far as one occasion, that weekend. But other than that, it's been pretty much connecting over the phone, but actually at the same, you know, same time, just walking together in ministry. So when we, that go to show you the connection is not a physical connection, but the connection is a spiritual connection that has to take place. Without that spiritual connection, without that relating, that relationship, it's not going to go forth and do what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
Prophet, do you have anything you want to say on that one, or are you okay?
No, I'm good. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So then the next thing you talk about is the connection. Sometimes the connection is something that joins two or more things. The act of the connection or two or more things, the being connected, or situation in which two or more things have the same cause or origin. So because of the prophetic office, because of the call, because of the mandate on her life, the Elijah connection is real, to where, because we have the thing in common, because we walk in, she is the one that, who's God selected to be the one who carried the spiritual bloodline on as she goes on into the next phase of ministry in life. And so all the anointings on my life will also be upon hers. And so that means she has a direct inheritance as a spiritual daughter to walk in the anointing on my life. So this is an awesome and powerful connection that happens. And it really is a rich inheritance, because who my spiritual parents are filtered down to me. Well, let's go further than that. Well, okay, I can go upwards. So from here, as we look at it from the hierarchy from here, our connection from what God has poured into my life to her. But then from what my spiritual parents have poured and is pouring into me. And then from their spiritual parents, what is poured into them. And so on and so forth. So you're talking about a legacy being passed down, transferred, years of anointings passed down and releasing into where this Elijah Elisha connection she's now receiving. That's why it's so powerful, because it goes so much greater. There's going to be spiritual attributes from her spiritual grandmother, Apostle Keller, that she's going to begin to see in her life that was passed down to me and then passed on to her. So even from her spiritual father, there's certain things that was passed on to Apostle Keller, passed on from her to me and me on to her. So it's awesome how it goes. That's why knowing your leader, knowing your Elijah is very key, because you miss out on so much not knowing the connection. That's why it's so important when you have that connection and you know it, that you stick to it. You said, and you know, funny thing, I remember she preached a message, Catch It. I think it was a name of the message that I think she preached a few years back, Catch It. Wasn't that some, that was a message when you preached about this, about the Elijah Elisha?
Amen.
And she preached that message that day. I noticed when she preached that message, I knew she caught it. And
Amen.
She and really, from that time on, I remember she even said, she's a lot, the Lord is showing me that you're my Elijah, and I'm a sickle. And then the Lord has been showing me about her. She's my Elijah. And I mean, the connection was real, and it's been
Amen.
Faithful ever since. You know, so when you understand that connection, now,
Amen.
You know, then you can continue to go forth, because the connection itself is so powerful. That's why. You know, regardless of what, we protect that.
Amen.
We protect that, make sure nothing comes in between that. No one comes between that. It keep, you know, you keep it and protect. And trust me, people have tried to come against it. People have tried to say all kind of foolishness that was not even from God. But, you know, the bottom line is we understand and we know, and everything was in order, and we can go forward. Amen. So
Amen.
Then the next thing is, amen. And so the next part of it is succession. The act of a title or right after the person who had the title or right be used has before you has died or is no longer allowed to have it or maybe stopped. By the process by which this happens is a series of people or things that come after the other. So once we come to this point, she will begin to walk in the succession of this ministry that's upon me. Even if I may not do as much openly as anyone else, be as active a certain way, or I still could be active, but then she just take it and go to different heights. You know, God can just take her across the country, going forth and operating, going forth. There will always be a connection that will never die. Always be a connection there. Amen. And so that's why even through the years, that connection will still be strong, and she will still – and see, the awesome thing about it is even still as I go up higher, she will be too, because of the connection is real, because there may be times where she will connect years later or whatever times later. For some reason, if God's taking her on her own mission and we come back together, there could be another release of impartation. So even that which I've gained can also be poured back into her again and take her even higher. So see, the benefits of the connection is just ridiculous. It's just crazy. But without having that connection, you can't even begin to have none of that.
Amen.
That's why I thank God for the connection. So Amen. Prophet, do you have anything else you'd like to say on that? Amen.
Amen. Right. I agree with you on that, Apostle. It's so funny. What stuck out to me was when you said about people trying to come in between that. You brought me to in 2 Kings. Glory be to God. I think it was, let's see, verse 7, 2 Kings 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 7 and 8, it said, about 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood opposite to watch them at a distance, and the two of them stood by Jordan, you know, and then they said Elijah took his mantle, his coat, and rolled it up and struck the waters, and they were divided this way and that way, you know. And the people, glory to God, even when you go up a little bit more in verse 5, this is, it said the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha, you know, as myself, and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today? And he answered, yes, I know it. Be quiet about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so glory be to God. I love how Elisha responded, because regardless of him, even if he was feeling nervous and he knew what was about to happen and he was going to follow the instructions of his leader, he still knew how to shut the mouths and rebuke other ones, you know, about getting in business they had no business to, and trying to instigate, so to say, and trying to cause him to be fearful and leave his leader, you know, because of different reasons. They may have desired to be in Elisha's shoes. They may they probably was jealous and envious, and that they couldn't get in their business or stop their relationship or stop what God was doing in them both, you know. And so you're always going to have people who are like that, who are standing at a distance. They're on your prayer line watching, listening to your relationship. They're on the social media network sites watching and listening how you all bond and flow in the spirit. You know, they're just paying attention. You know, they're watching where you all are traveling to and what you're doing and how you interact with each other, trying to see if you get into an argument or if you debate or if you all know how to flow together. They're trying to see what's going on with you, Elijah and Elisha. They're trying to see how is it that you're flowing that way. You know, they're watching from a distance to see when Elijah even rebukes Elisha at times, you know, bring correction. How is Elisha responding? You know, is he going to react in his flesh? You know, is he going to tell the business of what Elijah has shared with him? You know, and so they like to test you to see where you're at, to see if you're going to stand or fall. Amen.
Amen. You said a mouthful, Prophet. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot. And that's true. You know, because people will always watch your connection and see there's a way in and break it up. You know, and that's why you have to guard that connection with your life, because, you know, you understand how important that is to have a succession. Because, matter of fact, the definition here says about succession says it's the process of one person taking the place of another in the enjoyment of, see, it brings pleasure to pass it on, the anointing.
Amen.
It's a pleasure. It's not a grievous, like, oh, Lord. No. It's a pleasure in passing on the anointing. You know, amen. So, and because of that, that really goes to take it to a greater spiritual an enhancement, because it really takes it to another level. And it really benefits. What also happens too, that supersede that gives you adds years, because what happens too, the years it took for me to learn and walk through some things and learn some things. Well, she gets advanced and she gets advanced training. There's some things that she don't have to go through because I went through it and she's received it. And see, this is where, even in leadership in general, this is why you have a leader. The one who they can walk you through some things instead of you going through everything, and you save time, energy, life, money, experiences. You save a lot by not having to go through the same thing when you can. Your leader can tell you and impart to you, and you can learn from it. The people are not teachable. Sometimes people don't want to learn. They would think they got, they know everything, because they make a prophesy. They know everything. You can't tell them nothing. You missed it, and you keep on missing it too. Because here it is, God has anointed you to have a leader where you can glean from. glean, Amen. Learn from, ask questions. And that's why I never have a problem with pointing to Prophet, because she's always been respectable. I mean, she's been awesome. She's always been respectable and hungry mm-hmm. to learn, grow. Always, you know, always attentive. You know, and that's the thing. When you have some people want your anointing, but they don't want to pay attention to you. They don't want you. They don't, you know, as far as they don't want to hear from you. They just want this lady has no, it don't come like that. No. We had to spend time me pouring in. If you can't receive me pouring into you, you can't receive walking in that minority.
Amen.
There's no compromise in that, because you have to understand this came with time, and it's precious. This all is precious. It ain't something to be taken lightly. Amen. And so it's very important. With that, we want to bring it to a close, but I just want to bring this one part here, because when she mentioned about the mantle, and I want to say this here, then, let's see. Okay, verse 19 says, so he departed thence, and he found Elisha, the Shaphat, who was plowing. Once again, he was plowing and working, the 12 oxen, yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him.
Hmm.
See, the way it began will also be the way it ends. That mantle
Amen.
Was cast, even on the way he was going, but he was snatched. The mantle was cast. But guess what? Guess who was there to catch it both times? Elijah.
Amen.
No one else was there. But Elisha from the beginning, and no one else was there in the end. There's no confusion in that. And so even though, because Elijah was, he was over the school of the prophets. So these other, now even they recognized the connection. They were talking about your master. You notice when they said your master, they didn't say our master, they said your master. They made it very personal because they understood the Elijah-Elisha connection was there. They may not understand the fullness of what was going on, but they understood that it was there. And so because they understood that, here it is, let's say verse 21, the last part of it, he says, and he returned back from him and took the oxen of yoke of oxen and slew it and boiled the flesh and with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah. See, he pursued Elijah. He pursued Elijah to go to be there close with him. He says, and ministered unto him. That's a very key point. He said that he went after Elijah and ministered unto him. See,
mm-hmm.
Elisha ministered. In other words, Amen. When minister means to serve also. Serve.
Amen.
See, he pursued him to serve because he understood. That mantle was tossed. He got the invitation. It's time for him to take up on the invitation and serve.
Mm-hmm.
See, it didn't come. So even though the mantle was tossed and he received the mantle, but it still wasn't fulfilled until he served.
Amen.
He had to serve in order for the fullness of the mantle to be received. And we have to get it today. That's why some people think they get a little something by it. You can lay hands. They might not have put two, three scriptures together. But once they leave your ministry, they get, oh, I can pray now. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. See, until you get what you need to get for real, you won't see the fullness of what God has for you. And so because of that, the same way it began, it ended the same way, that Elisha was there to pick up the mantle and go forward. And that so even though all the sons of the prophets were, they noticed him, they just said, because two different times they mentioned your master. He's about to be taken away. You know, your master. They recognized the connection. They knew. They didn't say, once again, our master. They knew it was his. They knew that spiritual father connection as well as that the successor connection was there. So when he went on, he ended up saying here, as a matter of fact, once he received that mantle after Elisha was taken up, I wish we had more time. Go ahead. But anyway, was the mantle was, you know, Elijah was taken up, the mantle was left, and he see the way now on the way there, Elisha did the same thing with the waters. He took his mantle, rolled it up, and smite the water, and the water separated. See, the same thing. And so that's when they saw that when Elisha went forth. Now, when Elisha came back, he did the same thing. And that signified, let them know, and this, and when the thing that said, what was the thing? What was the thought after Elijah smite the water? What did they say after that? You still have that? Okay.
Yes, you said after they smite the water?
Yes, after you smite the water.
Amen. Elisha, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Amen. They said the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.
See, the spirit of Elijah rests. It didn't say just brush by. It rests on Elijah.
Amen.
See, when something rests you, it ain't going nowhere, man. It's on you. There's a peace. Because even the anointing was welcome, it received, and it was destined to be right there resting on him.
Amen.
When that anointing is on you, and they knew right then the spirit of Elijah was on, they recognize it because it's the same attribute, same spiritual things. That's what I'm saying. There's gonna be so much of me come out of her because they're gonna know, they be able to recognize. For those who know me, this is why Jesus said, if you know me, you know my Father.
Amen.
That's why she can say, if you know me, you know my Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see him through me. Mm-hmm. See, I never saw, you know, never saw that scripture like that, but that's what he's saying. You're going to see him through me.
Amen.
The way I am is he, that's, I'm doing, and I don't do it myself. I do what I see him. I do what I see him doing.
Mm-hmm.
The Father-Son connection. The spiritual son, the spiritual daughter connection, same way either way, you know, it goes beyond gender. The connection was so real. The successor. This is why Jesus was able to come on the earth. Go back. Jesus was able to go in the earth and actually release, walk as the Father on the earth. He was able to demonstrate what God, what the Father wanted him to do. So that's why it's very important with this Elisha connection. To understand how important it is. So that, there's a lot comes out of that. So it's very important to understand when you have that connection like that, to really honor that connection, to embrace the connection, allow God to do in that connection what he desires to do. You know, because there's a lot that he looks to have to come forth out of it. But if we don't understand it, we won't really embrace it, we won't have. As a matter of fact, people won't endure it the right way and embrace the first of all, like I said, to get to receive the mantle, to receive the, not the mantle, but the relationship, the connection,
mm-hmm.
the relationship, the connection, the succession, which is going to lead to the legacy. And so because that they receive that succession and walking out that succession, now, therefore, the legacy shall be born, the legacy which shall go forth, go on. So here it is now, there's another level of the leg passed on. Now, here it is, she has a legacy to walk out to where she has Elijah, then she is able to pass it on and go forth. And who knows, the next one could be a son under her. Who knows how they come forth. But the fact of the matter is, that legacy will continue on and go forth, and that's why the mantle is so important. The Elijah-Elisha connection is so important and powerful. And powerful.
Amen.
So that same anointing. So it's so much more to get into, but we thank God for what we did get into tonight. I know our time was far spent. So, amen. But we definitely enjoyed this tonight for what God has allowed us to explore and look at it. But once again, we pray God we'll get to come back to it again. And explore it again, go to part two of this. But we really had a good time. This is part one of it. But it's just so much. It's so much to be told about it because, you know, a lot of times we see it, hear people talk about it, but to really look at it in depth, what comes from that Elijah-Elisha connection is so much more than what we can just kind of fathom more than what's being on the surface to see. Prophet, do you have anything else to say before we release the line and before we go for the evening?
Amen. Praise God. I just want to say I bless God for this time. It was so awesome. I enjoyed it with my leader, Apostle Marcus Dupree, also my Elijah that God has given me, which is an honor and a privilege. And I thank God for the people allowing us to be on this radio station and love you all. God bless.
Amen. Amen. So once again, I thank God for each and every one tonight. Those of you who can join us, amen. Join us on Sundays at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Sunday evenings and 2 o'clock. 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights Eastern Standard Time. We'll be on Eagles Wings International Ministries line, and that line is number is 843-619-0410. 843-619-0410. And definitely join us there if you can. And for those who decide to sow seed tonight, amen, you can go to PayPal. You can put in eagleswingsim@yahoo.com. eagleswingsim@yahoo.com. Amen. For those who desire to sow. So once again, we thank God for each and every one. And if there's anyone who does not know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we want to give you the opportunity also to receive him as Lord. Lord, forgive me for I've sinned. For I surrender all, I open my heart to receive you as Lord and Savior. Jesus died for my sins and was raised on the third day. And I believe and receive his love and his power for him to come into my heart and bring me into fellowship with him. I surrender and I open my heart to him now to receive all. I choose to receive, and I now am saved. In Jesus' name. For anyone who needs to be rededicated, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. I've strayed away. Bring me back into right fellowship. I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. Thank you for bringing me back into right fellowship with you, Lord. I surrender all. I receive all from you. Thank you for empowering me. Jesus died and rose in order for me to have a new life. And I thank you. I embrace a new beginning. And after I receive a new beginning right now, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. For each and every one of you, even for the radio station here. We thank God for God bless you all. Amen. For who made it happen for us to be here. And thank you for your love and kindness and join us tonight. And once again, we'll be back again for part two. But next week, I know we may have another guest on with us next week. So, but in the meantime, as soon as we're able to come back, we definitely will be coming back and doing part two of this stuff tonight. I know we kind of did a rough kind of go through of it, but amen, there's so much more to kind of more examination to be done with this connection. Now, it's very important. We definitely see some characteristics of a deeper place of the Elijah and Elisha connection. So once again, God bless you all. Thank you, and may kingdom may his light and his life shine upon you and through you. Be who Christ has called you to be. Walk in your identity. Amen. God bless you all. Mm-hmm. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hands. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through, but I'm still here. Tell somebody else that. It's not the good that I have done. Do I have to win it again? So many things, hey, I left undone. Hallelujah. But in spite of all that, look at somebody and tell them, I got the victory. Come on, tell them, I got the victory. It's grace and mercy. Grace and mercy keeping me. Come on, say it. Oh,
yeah.